Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, featuring your host, Mark Shaheed and Quran Shakir. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. We ask that you join us this evening and enjoy with us the opportunity to examine the intricacies of marriage and courtship and relationship, male-female relationships. And now, without further ado, I present my esteemed co-host, Mark Shaheed.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Quran Shakir, and to our IWDM radio listen audience. As always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. وَشَهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بَعْدِ. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he doesn't have any partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed, and I am the co-host and co-facilitator and co-producer of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, along with Quran Shakir. And I want to extend the greetings of peace to all that's listening in here to IWDM Radio and by way of the Internet, with the greetings of peace, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, that obligates the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace, of Assalamu Alaikum. So once again, we thank Allah for blessing us with another Thursday evening here on IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. As most of you know, it goes all the way back to the sister station AM 360, starting October 13th, 2015. And so we have celebrated 6 years, and we're moving toward our seventh year for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Honored to have with me a very distinguished and esteemed co-host, the co-facilitator, and also producer and engineer, Quran Shakir. And for those of you who may be listening in, I'm always sending out invitations for those who first timers to listen in. We do say to you that this is your learning lab, and we do encourage and invite you to ask questions and to make comments. You might want to add something to whatever it is that we give in the learning lab, and we do invite you to do that. And those who may come every week and listen in, we do invite you to press one also to let us know if what you're hearing is resonating with you. And you can do that by pressing one. We also encourage you, because this is a learning lab, it's on a classroom style, we ask that you do bring your pen and your pad to take some notes, to bring an open mind, an open heart to what it is to be disseminated in terms of information. And we also ask that you share this information in terms of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with your family, your friends, your associates, your neighbors, community members. And you have time right now to contact them and let them know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is live here on IWDM Radio. those of you who may be listening by way of the Internet, if you want to really get involved in the conversation and share the information that that you would like to give, we do invite you to call into the studio live, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, to call in live to IWDM Radio for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, it is 714-816-4673. And we also have established bringittothelab@gmail.com email address that if you want to contact us, you want to leave some comments there, or maybe suggestion for futuristic programming here in terms of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Karan and I also invite that. Or you want to bring it to the lab on Facebook, like us on Facebook, as Karan is always posting on there. And you can also respond to that. We appreciate you responding to postings that on the Facebook. Also Instagram. We're trying to utilize these utilities to make contact with you, and you may be able to make contact with us outside of IWDM Radio. So, and I'm quite sure that some of you, perhaps this past weekend, hopefully was able to tune in, listen in to the time to be grateful that 2021 that was hosted by the Atlanta Masjid. It was outstanding. And we don't know, but I guess Karan will tell us if we got any feedback in regards to that, or maybe some questions, as Karan gave outstanding, I think, outstanding presentation. And there was others that gave outstanding presentation. I think all the ones I heard was outstanding. So if you have any questions in regards to that, we will accept questions in regards to maybe some of the things you heard this past weekend, also here on the Learning Lab tonight. And we want to always let you know that if you missed last week for whatever reason, we always have a very substantive overview. And for that, I go to our very distinguished, esteemed co-host and the co-facilitator of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Karan Shakir. Once again, Karan, assalamu alaikum. How are you today?
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. It's so good to hear your voice. Look like, what is this, like 3 times in a week? This is beautiful. Alhamdulillah.
Man, my voice seems a little sluggish tonight for some reason. I don't know. Maybe I've been talking too much or what. But anyway,
nope,
I am elated. I'm delighted to be here, always here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So, you know, I'm just happy. I'm happy to be here.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, we are so happy to have all of our listening audience here with us. And yes, let us do a quick overview of what we discussed last week so that we can move on to this week. Last week, we looked at chapter 15 of the Principle of Peace. And we were looking at patience and forgiveness. And this chapter 15 is from the book Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet to Make Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect by Akila Nafisa Rashid. And this ripple stands for principles. So the R is respect, the I, intimacy, the P, partnership, the P, peace, the L, love, and the E, equality. In looking at this concept, this principle of peace, alhamdulillah, we were looking at this unique thing called forgiveness. And why do we need forgiveness as a road to peace? We looked at how in Surah 12, Allah mentioned that he is Al-Ghafur Rahim, the merciful forgiver. And so we looked at the idea that the root word of Ghafur is Ghafara, which means to conceal or hide or forgive. And so when we looked at this idea that Allah is the supreme, the ultimate, the best at forgiving, then we looked at this idea that in forgiving is the idea of hiding and concealing something, not bringing it back up as retaliation or a reminder of something. So when you forgive, then you go ahead and release and let it go, and avoid excuses for why you can't forgive others. And my favorite part was that we talked about this idea of forgiving yourself first. Too often, you know, we're hard on ourselves and we do not forgive ourselves. So forgive yourselves first. I love the ayat that we looked at. It says that good and evil cannot be equal. So you repel evil with what is better, and your enemy will become as close as an old and valued friend. And that was from Surah 41, ayat 34. And so we were looking at this idea that if we could learn to forgive and learn to release and learn to let go, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn someone whom we deem as the worst of enemies into a valued friend. And we have to trust Allah in that. And I do want to make sure that we iterate that we're not talking about forgive heinous acts. We're talking about we tend to be people who make mistakes because we are human. And as human beings, we will make mistakes. And when we do make mistakes, be willing to forgive those who make mistakes. In this idea of forgiveness, we also looked at the need to be merciful and showing mercy to others. That's so valued and important for us to have mercy in our hearts so that we can have mercy on others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Surah 24, ayat 22, about forgiving and overlooking. He said, let not those among you who are endued with grace and amplitude of means resolve by oath against help and want, and those who have left their homes in Allah's cause, let them forgive and overlook. Do you not wish that Allah should forgive you? For Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. So just a reminder that to be those who forgive and overlook, and to forgive and overlook has a healing effect. And to be able to look for people, if we're in the courtship process, look for people who are forgiving, who are merciful, who have these valuable qualities in them, and you have to know how to observe and see this. Because people can tell you anything, but you want to see that merciful behavior, that forgiving behavior, because that is a person who will be able to create for you a space of peace, because they're not so bent on being vengeful and hurtful. They know how to be soft and forgive and overlook, especially disappointing, painful things that may happen in a relationship. And there was so much that we said on this idea of seeking retribution for any act that we have done that was wrong, and that's important, to seek forgiveness as well as to be forgiving and to know that this is a practice taken from what we do with our Lord. Seek his forgiveness and ask him to forgive us, knowing that he will be one forgiving towards us, and we all want Allah's forgiveness. And then finally, I just want to remind us that Allah tells us about being patient and being those who are forgiving, and that Allah will be patient with us and forgiving towards us. And I keep reiterating those qualities that we seek are qualities that we also deliver upon. And I think it's important for us to be those, knowing and understanding that, so that we won't always be with our hands out seeking, but we will also be those who are giving of those behaviors as well. Back to you, Mark.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And very excellent, as always, overview of last week. You know, Quran, I want to just add, it can't be underscored, really, in terms of these qualities that we talked about last week in terms of forgiveness and patience and compassion and mercy. And I was glad to hear you say that you should also, in addition to looking for a mate that have those type of qualities and characteristics is very, very important. And I want to just say to those that may be in the courtship phase and you're looking for those type of qualities, those are some excellent qualities that actually have been able to master. But it's very important that you also have those qualities, because there's a law called reciprocity. A law of reciprocity in your relationship, whereas you receive, but you also give back. This helps to nurture the relationship. It helps to foster the growth and the development in your relationship. We want the relationship, when we talk about peace, as one of the principles, we have to look at Allah's creation. And Allah's creation gives us an instructing sign that He has peace and order in His natural creation that speaks to us. Among many other instructing signs that Allah's creation gives to us, it speaks to us as an orderly and peaceful creation. And this is what it is that Allah wants us to have in our relationship, to have order and peace there. And it can't be underscored that mercy and compassion is a prerequisite to be able to forgive. We find this in the Quran, in Surah Al-Harum, chapter 30, ayah 21. What Allah says to us, and then among His signs is this, among His messages is this, that He has made for us mates from among ourselves of like nature, you see. Very, very important that we may be able to dwell together in tranquility. And then Allah says that He will put love and mercy between your hearts. This is very, very important. We always want to have love in our relationship, but we also want to be merciful and compassionate in our relationship, because we will make mistakes, we will err. You may commit a sin, and you will have shortcomings. So the mercy and the compassion, it helps us to be able to forgive each other. And that's, as my mother used to say, that's a bridge that we all have to cross at some point in our life in terms of forgiveness. So I just want to, you know, it can't be underscored enough in terms of really emphasizing the importance of that. We will really have problems in our relationship if one or both are not able to forgive each other. You know, that word reciprocity, as a word challenges, is realize each conscious initiative performed, return other conscious initiative to you. You know, what is given to us, we have to realize and be conscious of the initiative that is performed by our mate to give to us, extend that to us. But it we have to be conscious in terms of returning those qualities back to our mate. This makes for a good, smooth sailing relationship. But if one can't do it or both can't do it, it will be a rocky road. Just want to just say those couple few things in regards to that to emphasize how important. And then, you know, that said a lot in terms of patience. As I think we may have said last, it's a pretty awesome tool incorporating each new challenge efficiently. So we want to look at patience as a pretty awesome tool incorporating each new challenge efficiently. And most certainly in relationships and the male-female social relationship, the dynamic is that we will have challenges. And we will have new challenges, you know, but patience is needed and required to be able to get through those challenges, conquer those challenges as husband and wife. Very, very important. could say a lot more about that, but I think I said enough, Quran. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to turn it back to you, but I want to say to our radio listening audience, at any point in time that you have a question or comment, we do ask you to press 1, and those of you who really are appreciating and the information is resonating, Quran and I would love to hear from you. Please press 1. Thank you, Quran. Back to you.
One of the things that came to my mind when you were talking, one thing, and then I'll get to our next chapter. When you talk about this idea of mercy and forgiveness and this building of peace, it made me think about the purpose of marriage in our community life. And, you know, establishing and growing our communities. And the reason that we have marriage is for each individual to grow. And so your growth comes through being able to forgive somebody. That's growth, being able to forgive somebody.
Yes.
That just came to my mind when you said that. So alhamdulillah, thank you so much for your comments. They were very useful and beneficial. So now we are looking at this week, chapter 16. And chapter 16 is about love of God. And as for those of you who are listening, you are listening to IWDM, and this is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And this is a lab, so we ask you to grab a pen and paper and take notes with us. If you have a question or a comment, join in. Please push 1 on your phone, and we will gladly bring you into the conversation. If you have a question or a comment, either one is fine with us. And if you are listening online, then we just want to remind you that you can join us in the studio, because that makes for a more interactive engagement. Join us in the studio at 714-816-4673. And once you're in the studio, you can push 1 and be a part of this conversation. Now, let's look at chapter 16, love of God, is what we're looking at. And we're looking at these principles that the sister presents in her book, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet, to make waves in your marriage. And so we're looking at peace. I'm sorry, we're now looking at love, love of God. So the whole project of community development depends on us having healthy marriages, right? It takes marriages to build a ummah or a community. So the sound marriages make for a healthy and sound community. And so we understand that. And we look at then what Allah has designed for us and how he has designed us. And in designing us, we look at how do we cooperate with what Allah has given us as a design. So our excellence as a man and our excellence as a woman is in us. It's in us like a seed. And I'm intentionally using this word seed because I want to harp on this word seed, because the seed cannot grow without having certain elements, right? Good soil, sun, and water, right? Well, listen to me, everybody. The word that Allah uses for love is seed. Isn't that amazing? It is seed. He uses this word seed for love. And in using this word seed, it is hababa, is what Allah uses. And actually, in one ayah, it is be he, is what he said. So it's all from the same root word, and it's about a seed. So think about a seed. A seed is a little tiny something that is dead. As Imam Muhammad said, he said, you look at it and you don't see life. You see the potential for life, but you don't see life. Look at love in that way, as something that has a potential for life. And so it's not just about the ooh, Google, Google, Google kind of love. It's real love, true love, love that benefits, love that grows. And so if you're looking for this kind of love that grows, then the first thing you do is look at your relationship with your Lord. What kind of love do you have for your God, and how does it, his love for you, how does his love for you manifest in your life? So we need love. And so when we look at this idea of love and this love from Allah, love of Allah, we look at how this can advance us. It can create order for us when we have the love that Allah has designed for us and has designed in us like a seed that he has put in us. And so when we find potential mates, then we have to then groom and grow the seed that is placed there in that relationship. So she named our sister Akilah, she named this love of God. Chapter 16 is love of God. So let's look more at what we owe to Allah, owe to God when you look at your marriage. What do you owe God? And so when you look at that, then you can groom a different kind of relationship. You will treat that relationship in a different way because you're looking at it as if I'm paying God back the way he's done for me. I'm doing this for God, not for the man I love or the woman I love. I'm doing this for God. And then you will see the work that you are doing in that marriage as a part of your worship to him. And that is why it is part of our religious practices to be a part of what we give back to God. It is a part of our worship to see it that way. And I have much more that I want to say about that. But I just want to introduce to us this idea that love is a seed. All right, everybody, I've given you some food for thought. Think over it. Sister, you have, do you agree? Do you disagree? You have something to add to it. I want to hear from you. Push one on your phone, and we will include you in this conversation because this is a learning lab, and we're learning together. And using the Quran, what Allah has given us as one of the tools, as the source of how we do what we do to develop these marriages and these relationships that build strong communities. All right, Mark, your turn to respond.
I'm really laughing.
As soon as they pick one, I'm going to let you know.
Yes.
Somebody did.
Yes, I press one. Let's go to the callers here because that's a good question. Let's see what the caller has in mind, Quran.
All right, yes, indeed. All right, so we are going to welcome 810-610. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alaikum assalam. Who are you?
I'm calling from Michigan.
Your voice is a little low there. Can you get a little closer to your mic, if you would, please? Your voice is a little low.
Yes, this is the picture Haji calling from Flint, Michigan.
Alaikum as-salam.
When you were saying that Quran, and you have to have that love, and each individual in the building of that marriage, however many years, they each have to have that love, and one can't do it. You know, oftentimes you do find sometimes where in the marriage one of the partners are doing things because they want to please the other partner. So they're doing the things, the religious activities and things, but they're not feeling it. And so when that person is not feeling it, the other and is feeling that they are not feeling it. That is just, the other person can actually pick up on that. They're like, wait a minute, something's wrong here. So you're doing a ritual, but no connection, you know, it's no connection to it. It's just basically saying the words that you've seen on paper, and you know that if you say this, it's going to be pleasing to the mate that you're with because they want you to do this. I just want to say that it made it come to my attention that you pick that up. You can pick that up in the relationship that is not done out of, and you want to be careful saying not done out of sincerity because you don't know the hearts of other people. But again, sincerity picked up. You can.
You're breaking up a little bit there, DePriza. You're kind of breaking up just a little bit. I don't know if anything could be done. We can hear every three or four words, and there's a little break there.
When you want to say something, But I was just saying that even though the person, one of the people might be going through the ritual, and
okay.
we want to be careful to say that a person isn't sincere, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows heart. Sincere touches the heart. So, you know, we have to take a look at that. And that's what came to my consciousness. I was listening to you all speaking this evening. I appreciate you so kindly. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, and thank,
thank
you so kindly, the Priest of Hadi, for calling in and sharing. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out. And the Priest, you might want to hang up and then dial it again. I think you kind of got a little bad connection there a little bit. And of course, if you have something else you say, Karan and I, we welcome you to come back in for any other commentary or question. Karan, you heard the Priest of Hadi in terms of what she's sharing. You have any response or reflection?
Oh, I was nodding and agreeing with her, and we do have to be mindful of our language that we use. So I think that was one of the important takeaways that I got from what she said, is be mindful of, you know, trying to judge someone's intentions. And I think that also comes with self-love. You know, when you're looking at that ability to not try to be, for lack of a better word, the God over someone, to be towering over and trying to judge someone, judge yourself. And that's a big love.
Well, you know, Karan, you know, I always say this when, you know, sometimes people trying to play judge, I remind them, and I think this is good for those who listen to use this. We want to use the Quran always in as the foundation for what it is that we say. 17 times a day, if you make the 5 regular prayers, you're saying that Allah is Maliki Yawmiddin. The expression that is mostly heard in terms of translating Maliki Yawmiddin is that God is the sole master of the day of judgment. Soul, S-O-L-E, soul, by himself. He doesn't need any help in terms of judgment. All of us are being judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. This is, we got to remember that and know that God will be judging all of us. So there's no need for us to try to judge each other, you know, because Allah is al-Basir. He's the all-seeing, I mean, even the unseen. Oftentimes we may mistakenly prejudge. We call that word prejudice. The root meaning of prejudice is to prejudge, you see. And we may we may misjudge a person in that regard. See, so this is very important to know that Allah does not make mistakes. As human beings, we can make mistakes in that judgment. Very, very important. This is why what Akila Nafisa Rashida said, that when we get to this principle in terms of love, she's stating the first thing is that we should love Allah first.
That means.
And there's a beautiful song, but when you listen to the words or lyrics there, and I know we've heard it before, and some may have just hummed along with the song, but it's not correct. The greatest love of all is to love yourself. No, the greatest love of all is to love Allah, the Creator. You see, we have to put things in perspective. Now, let's look at it how Imam Muhammad teaches us in terms of this. If we love ourselves, and thank you so much, Quran, you know, for relating the Arabic in terms of love as a seed, because Allah is teaching us, you know, always. He's always teaching us and relating to the natural creation what actually happens in us. As a matter of fact, that's a master key that Imam Muhammad has given to us. He says everything in creation, I'm going to say it again, everything in creation has its counterpart in man, mm-hmm. has a likeness in man. See, mm-hmm. so when she says that the first love is to love your creator, because without your creator, we would not be the creation that Allah intended for us to be. And Allah has created us to be a special creation in that regard. So to love your creator means that you are consciously regardful of him, your Lord and creator.
Mm-hmm.
So it's reason, you understand, when we go back to the Al-Fatiha again, Iyaka naba'udu wa Iyaka nasta'in, is that it's only you, Allah, that we worship and we serve and we work for. And this is saying, and that we love you first and foremost. We put you over anything and everybody. And then if we do that, now we have to adhere to your word. And when we talk about Maliki Yawmi Din, we know that Deen has several meanings. But the root meaning of Deen in Arabic is debt. Is debt. We owe a debt. We owe a debt individually, but also we owe a debt in the marriage. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's marriage. And we know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that that sacred institution of marriage is one half of the deen. Okay, so if we translate that, how Imam Muhammad has given it to us, then it's one half of the debt that we owe to Allah. You see?
Mm.
So how do we pay that? How do we pay that back? Well, she's saying that you should love Allah. And how you love Allah in your relationship to Allah is that of a obedient servant to your master. We are the servant, and showing our love and our gratitude to Allah is by being as obedient as we possibly can. You see, this shows, you understand, that we understand the purpose of our life, and Allah gives that purpose to us in Surah 51, Ayat 56. You read it for yourself. We don't want to give you too much. You have to have something for homework here in this class. 51:56, Allah gives it to us in terms of our purpose for creation. So by serving Allah, we are going to become the in the sacred institution of marriage, because now remember, it's one half of the deen. So when you go in as two conscious Muslims or believers, knowing and understanding that this is what Allah has established, this is Allah's marriage, and you loving Allah first and foremost, then you're going to be able to express the best love for your spouse. As a man, you're going to be able to express the best love for your wife. As a woman, you're going to be able to express the best love for your husband. As a mother and a father, you're going to be able to express the best love for your children. You're going to be able to express the best love for your neighbors. You're going to be able to express the best love for your friends. You're going to be able to express the best love for community members.
Okay.
You're going to be able to express the best love for humanity. You see how that works? I mean, when you start out with the right concept. No, it's not the greatest love of all is to love yourself. It sounds good, the lyric, the music and all, and sometimes it's just a play in your head. But we have to understand that words make people. We want the words of revelation. We want the words of the Quran, you understand, to shape and form us in our mental attitude and disposition and ultimately in our behavior, because it translates into behavior. How do we behave in the relationship? How do we treat each other in the relationship? And it begins with our love of our Creator first and foremost. Now remember, Allah needs nothing from us. He's independent of everything. But in love and gratitude of our Creator, in terms of how He created us, and all the provisions that He has given to us, it should translate in terms of being a good lover of our spouse, in terms of our treatment, our interaction with them. I could say more, Quran, but, you know, that came to mind in regards to that. And just leave the judging to the one that says he is Maliki Yomi Deen. He's the sole master of the day of judgment. And just pray Allah that we're doing all we can as righteous, obedient servants in showing our love and gratitude to Allah in terms of how it is that we interact with each other and how we serve not only our family. You know, when they asked Aisha, Rahim, Allah, and Anna, you know, what was the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, what was he like in the home environment? You know, they were curious at that time. They was curious. And for those of you who don't know that his wife, Aisha, was one of the most profound scholars. Notice I didn't say just of the women. She was one of the most profound scholars. And many of her hadiths were hadiths that Abu Hurairah could not give. As a matter of fact, that's a lot of history that goes with Abu Hurairah. He gave the most. But he was a little Johnny come lately in the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But all of those hadiths that was given by Aisha, Rahim al-Ayyan, they were hadiths that nobody else could give because they weren't the wife. They didn't have the honor distinction of being one of the wives of the Prophet. So when she was asked that question, what was he like in the home life, she responded, I'm paraphrasing, but she responded, well, in the home life, he serves his family. He serves his family. Very, very important, you see. And, you know, Quran, we already gone over this in terms of, you know, domestic chores. He helped with those. He was seen doing those type of things. So if he's the model for us, and we see that he served his wife, he served his family, what should that say to us in that regard? You know, when we talk about the five love languages, that's one of the universal love languages, act of service. Prophet Muhammad exemplified that, you see. So it's more I can say, but I think I said enough. So I'll stop there.
Yeah, we've got a couple of people waiting
We got people waiting. We don't want to keep them waiting. Let's go and see what they have on their mind.
Okay,
we're glad to raise their hand. Yes.
Yes, so let us welcome 706-627. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Hi, Salaam alaikum, Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia.
Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I'm quite sure you have a question or a comment that you would like to make.
Yes, sir. Just want to always remind us that the truth will set you free if we have to be honest and truthful to ourselves so we know how to gauge our progress in marriage and anything else that we do. So when we come to the realization that the key to Al-Islam is not obedience. There's a lot of people who are obedient to Allah, but they have not yet submitted to it. Submission is the key. So when we submit to the Quran, in the life of the Quran, in the words of Ibrahim, like he said, my life and my death is all for Allah. See, if we do that, everybody else who has another life other than Al-Islam and has another God other than Allah, they will learn from our modelization of marriage, of how to raise our children. See, but we're so still don't realize that we are integrated in a hypocritical, wrongdoing, et cetera, type of society, and we have not accepted. We have not submitted to the Quran. We have not submitted to Allah. We have knowledge of Allah. We know everything he wants us to do and this and that. But until we submit and live the life that Allah has prescribed, the good life at that, in the Quran and in the example of Prophet Muhammad, not only to help ourselves and our life, but it will help every other life on this earth who has gone astray. It will at least give them the opportunity to come back to rightful marriage and what they're supposed to do in marriage. And because remember, Allah is not going to reward us with those benefits if we're not submitting, like he always said in the Quran. Now, equal are those who sit at home and know the religion, talk the religion, but still they are fornicating by using the education they had before they became free to be a true creation of Allah SWT the way he has prescribed for us in Revelation. So that's what our problem is right now, and that's what we're working on. That's why we are the sincerity of us. Again, another word, that's sincerity. It's the sincerity in us making us not let these lies that we are telling ourselves, this false realization of expressing this life, because we know we still are being influenced by Shaitan, and we still know that we're being influenced by the world, so we are at least showing Allah and by being obedient. But we can't, Allah said, they can't fool me. Do they think that they can fool me by obeying me and doing what I tell them to do? But bottom line, they're not submitting to it, and they wonder why when they come to marriage, family life, raising their children, you don't realize that you're using more of the logic of the world than the logic of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, how many love. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad. We
Brother Muhammad, you know, for calling in and sharing. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out. Karen, I want to make, before we go to the next call, I want to make a little comment here. I want to thank Brother Muhammad for calling in, but I want to put things in a little bit better perspective. Most recently, I guess about a month ago, on the fourth Sunday, I have a designated for our youth and young adults, and I was teaching them in terms of admitting, submitting, committing, permitting, and also profiting. When we come into this way of life, we come in taking what is called the Shahadatain, making the declaration. I call it the declaration of liberation. We come in. That's the verbalization of it. That is admitting something, and that is verbalization. And then after that, we talk about submitting, you know, submitting. Imam Muhammad said that better still is conforming. This is not Mark Shaheed. This is what Imam Muhammad says. So just to help us in terms of conforming to the will of God. You see, we say submitting, but conforming is better. But when we look at conforming, you know, we are actually, after admitting and submitting, we are committing to do something. You know, it's like if you commit it. When you're part of a committee, you're committed to doing something. This is one of the ways you distinguish the Muslim from the movement. We learn that every movement is a Muslim, but not every Muslim is a movement. You know, but when we give the definition of Muslim, we say one who submits and surrenders their will to do God's will. You know, but there's a higher elevation than that. Once we learn the religion, we'll learn there's a higher elevation. You will see that the movement is one that's committing, and you will see some actions. As a matter of fact, the legendary boxing champion, Muhammad Ali, he once said that it is, how did he put it? He said that it is the repetition of affirmation that takes us to belief. But when it becomes a strong conviction, then things begin to happen. This is very important, you see, because it's a repetition of affirmation. We hear people say, you know, give the Shahadatain over and over again. But when it becomes a strong conviction in your life where you're committing to actually do those things in your life, become a practitioner, that's when things actually begin to really happen in your life and to make a difference in your life. I want to be very clear with this, and so it will help us here in the learning lab in terms of we don't want to stay at the point of just admitting. or as we say, submitting. We want to be committing, and in being and being committed, this will permit us to profit in this religion and others to profit in this religion. You see, I don't have time to go through the mathematical equation in regards to this, but we'll have more to share. We'll have more to divide. We'll have more to share. Actually, in terms of the relationship, when you get to have the positive qualities that we're talking about here on the Learning Lab and the two coming together, it multiplies. You see the multiplication of it. You know, even in math, you can't get to division, or you're going to struggle with division until you learn the multiplication table or learn how to multiply. Well, the same thing, it happens in terms of life itself. These are symbols, but they're symbols that have higher meaning in that regard. The more that you can multiply in terms of two people coming together and sharing what it is that they have, it multiplies. They're able to divide or share that with their family, friends, neighbors, community members, and all. Just like you said earlier, Quran, this is about building community life, model community life. We can't do that without model family life. We can't do it without model marriage life. It goes in that order and all. So I just want to just say that so that we understand that a commitment has to be made. And once you see, as Ali said, once it becomes a strong conviction, then that's when you see things begin to happen. And it'd be happening in the way, in accordance with God's will and plan is for us. Just wanted to say that. So who else we have in the queue?
Thank you. Great point. Let us welcome 404-368. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamualaikum.
That voice sounds familiar. Who is this?
This is Tawanda from Decatur, Georgia, New Africa.
Tawanda, yes, alhamdulillah. Good to hear your voice. Do you have a question?
Well, I have a question, but I first want to make sure. You said Surah 51?
Yes, that's Surah 51, I got 56, where
okay,
Allah tells us the reason that he created now the jinn and the ants, which is referring to his human creation.
Okay, so I just want to ask you a question then. I've read it. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, I have only created jinns and men that they may serve me.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes.
Who is the jinn that he's talking about?
Well, that would be a whole learning lab if we was going to talk about jinn. But jinn is a creature that Allah has created, and all human beings have a jinn that accompanies them. And one of the things we can say that a lot of people think that the jinn is something that is actually evil, but even in what it is you just read, Allah says he has not created the jinn nor the human being except for the worship or the service to serve him. And so the jinn is supposed to serve us. We can look at the jinn in the Quran as we trace it, the jinn, and we know that Iblis was a jinn. You'll find that in Surah 18:50, where Allah says, and Iblis was a jinn. And the description of the jinn is that he's a fire. And what Imam Muhammad taught us in that regard, that everything in creation, you heard me say this, is a master key, which will help you. He said everything in creation has a counterpart in man. Okay, so he's a jinn. It was created of fire, and he says that fire, but free of smoke, you see, and that has a significance in it, too. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but when we look at fire, what we want to do, he said, and let the known lead you to the unknown, which is another master key. Let what you know lead you to what you don't know. see, so it, Jen is abstract, and it is that when you study fire, you'll see certain characteristics of fire. Fire, you know, we know fire can be a great help and a great benefit to us, but fire has to be put up under restraints. Just like real fire, you it warm, it cook your food, make you comfortable, all of that. It's under restraints when it does that. But if it's not up under restraints, if it's not disciplined, then fire can be very destructive. And the same thing in terms of the urges, the passion, the impulses, and the desire. We can look at that as being fire within the human being. So that's the abstract part of it. So it has to be disciplined. It has to be made. Our urges, our impulses, our desires and passions have to be made to submit. Matter of fact, Imam Muhammad say, you know, we shouldn't be so concerned about, you're talking about the fire in the hereafter and all of that alcohol. He said that we should be concerned more about the fire of our own passion in terms of controlling and disciplining that and showing self-restraint and self-management. This is one of the reasons that in during the month of Ramadan, fasting in the month of Ramadan, it helps us to be able to control and discipline and manage our own fire of passion. You see, you feel good when you feel like as though you're in control in that regard. It's a lot I could say about that, but I don't want to say it tonight because I don't want to take us totally off the course that we're on. But hopefully you see that, and you also should see that there was an intellect. There was an intellect that was not an obedient intellect, you know, and this intellect also can be seen as fire, but fire that's not submitting. Another characteristic of fire is that it breaks things down. You see, it breaks things. The intellect has the power to break things down, but it has to be a submitting intellect. And we see that in the prayer itself, as Imam Muhammad has taught us, at that sajda. Sajda is the most precious position of the prayer. Because what do we see? We see the highest part of us that's also touching the ground, also touching the floor, which is our forehead. You understand where the uncle, which is translated as the human brain or the human intellect. And the Prophet Muhammad has said to us that this is the most beneficial, valuable thing that Allah created. Now, there's a reason for that. I don't want to go into it today because I could talk all to the rest of the end of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. But I'll do this here. If you want to have a conversation about that with me, my number is no secret. You can call me at 314-435-7213.
314-435-7213. Wait a minute. You're moving too fast.
You got to have your pen ready, because we're going to move on.
435-7213.
All right, Mark Shaheed.
This is Tawanda. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much for calling in. Yes, alhamdulillah. All right, so who else we have in the queue?
All right, so I wanted to, I'm grateful that we are able to have, I always like to talk about this idea of mizan, balance. And I think it's important that we do find balance in how we study and practice what Allah has given to us.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the reasons that I enjoy reading the book that Sister Akila has for us, because she looks at things in a balanced way, and her perspective of things is very interesting, to say the least. And she uses what Allah has given us in the Quran as a source.
Yes.
And then we can take that information and develop it. So for those of you who are listening or just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and you are listening to Mark Shaheed and Quran Shakir We are your hosts and co-producers of this program. And alhamdulillah, we're grateful to have you on with us. And we want to say that if you have a question or a comment and you don't want to go on air, you can definitely email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. And I want to say, Mark, maybe later on in the program, there was an email that came to us where one of our listeners did have a question for us, and I wanted to share that. But I wanted to complete this discussion first. And
yeah, by all means. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
And we do have one of our callers with their hands up as well.
Go ahead and take the caller, and then you can proceed on. So that I don't like to keep the callers waiting. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. All right. So we are going to welcome 219-484. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Yes, this is Dr. Jamal Rashid from Gary, Indiana. I just wanted to chime in on Sister Sharonda's comment and question, and yours also, Mark and Sister Grant, about when you brought out the impulses and the urges and the passions and also emotional intelligence. As you all know, that I often allude to the jinn being part of our emotional makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spoke of fire, and it has to be contained in the duality of understanding that emotions can be our best friend or it can be our worst enemy. And we as the Khalifa have to contain or control that passion or that urge or that impulse, or it will go out of control like fire would be physically. But understanding in the positives of that, then it becomes our best friend. And then that's what gives us inspiration and encouragement and courage to proceed towards fulfilling our obligations to Allah as we to our best abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you
so much, Dr.
Jamal Rashid, for calling in and sharing with us. We do thank you. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Put one on your phone. Yes, well, that's a very good point, Dr. Jamal. We appreciate your comments always when you share
always.
Them. So we're continuing this conversation from our book, Muslim Marriage Makeover, in Modeling Muhammad the Prophet, to make waves in your marriage with the ripple effect by Akila Nafisa Rashid. And this ripple, as we have discussed, the principles are respect, I, intimacy, P, partnership, P, peace, L, love, and E, equality. So we're on this idea of love, and we looked at that. If we look at the Quranic perspective of love and how Allah gives it to us, and he presents us with this concept of it being a seed. And, you know, as we said earlier, the seed is a dead thing that has potential for life. And the potential for life is groomed by what we do with it. So earlier this week, I was in a session where the question was asked, what is love? And, you know, just the definition of love. So to all of us, think about it. What is love when you have to define it? What is love? And so when I think about love, I think about the fact that Allah says it's this dead thing with potential. And that potential is for life. And so when we think about the life itself, and this is from a seed here that Allah has given us, it has this potential, then Allah also tells us about how he takes something and he can make it in abundance. Something that is small, he can make it grow in abundance. And so if love is this thing that has potential for growth, it has the potential to produce from it. And so I'm saying that because sometimes we just say love in a theoretical kind of way, the love of the Prophet, the love of Allah, the love of ourselves. But, you know, really, What is love when you look at the things you must do to get to this place of love? And that it does, it's not something that just happens. You know, people talk about love at first sight. Well, love, if it's a seed, seeds don't sprout at first sight. They just don't do it like that. So when we look at it from a natural perspective, then it is something that is nurtured, and it is something that is groomed to be able to produce in abundance. And Allah tells us that the parable of those who spend their substance in the way of Allah is that of a grain of corn. It grows 7 ears, and each ear has 100 grains. And Allah gives manifold increase to whom he pleases, and Allah cares for all, and he knows all things. I use that as the example because this is a seed, that grain, that seed grows, and Allah makes it abundant. Well, you know, first it can grow 7 ears, and each ear, 100 grains. Imagine that. So if we groom love correctly, if we invest in the love that we're talking about, invest in this seed in our relationship, invest in love of Allah, meaning we're practicing being merciful, practicing being forgiving, making sajda, as we mentioned earlier, submitting our whole selves to Allah, placing the highest part of our being to the floor so Allah can groom us and grow us and accept of us, and seeking forgiveness, seeking mercy, being forgiving, and being merciful. These things grow in abundance in our relationships and grow them in a way like no other things can do. And so beginning first with, I owe this to Allah. I owe this to Allah to be loving to you. I owe this to Allah to be caring for you. I owe this to Allah to be looking at you as someone who can help me in my deen, my debt that I owe to Allah. And I think, so the word that our sister uses in the book is that love is an action that grows the love. So I'm going to pause there for comments. So anyone who has a comment, you can push one on your phone. You have a question, you push one. But, Mark, I'm going to let you go ahead and respond to that.
Yeah, you know, love that's, you know, I know you can't see me, but I got a big smile on my face. I'm saying alhamdulillah. I'm saying alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. You know, all it is that you say is very beautiful, very beautifully expressed. I concur with you 100%. And look, let me say this. Give an addendum to what it is, all that you said. I want the radio listening audience to know and understand that the sacred institution of marriage, when it comes to love, that is the womb in which love grows. I'm going to say it again. The marriage is the womb in which love grows. You know, Quran, you said something earlier in your commentary in terms of the seed, and you were talking about the elements. Oftentimes we say it has to be in the right environment. It has, Imam Muhammad wrote a book in terms of the climate, Islamic climate for business success. So it's an Islamic climate, you see. So we can look at, in terms as love, in terms of Islamic climate, would be the sacred institution of marriage, where love grows and develops naturally. So, you know, if we look at a seed, as Quran was saying, look at the seed, and what is that the seed needs in the environment, you understand, for it to reveal what is concealed. Yes, Imam Muhammad made commentary on the Quran. This Quran just said, you know, in terms of that, Allah says in the Quran that he is the one that brings life out of the death and death out of the light. You see, so this is an excellent example in terms of that. When we look at the seed, we don't see any life in the seed. The seed looks dead. But inside the seed is potential for life. Mm-hmm. You see, a potential for fruit, or we call produce, or for human life, productivity. You see.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at the seed, we look at love. You see, we can look at it in a comparative way. If, in fact, that we see that the sacred institution of marriage is the womb, just like, you know, we're born. You know, there's a time that you're in the womb for the growth and development, and then you come out of the womb, and then you reveal all what was taking place in it. Look at the beautiful baby. But if we was to look at the very inception of that life as a zygote, wouldn't look so pretty. If we was to look at the embryo, still wouldn't look very pretty. If we look at the fetus, now this is when, you understand, now some of the body parts began to start taking shape and form, but it wouldn't still look as pretty or beautiful as the newborn baby that now is birthed. But the gestation part happened in the womb. Well, the same thing when it talks about love. You have to get married. The sacred institution of marriage is the womb in which love grows. You know, it reveals, you understand, because the seed is representative of the potential of what Allah has placed there. So when we look at the sacred institution of marriage, it's just like the seed. It has the potential for the growth and the development of both the man and the woman.
Mm-hmm.
In that, we can't realize our full potential. This is very important. This is noteworthy. So those of you taking notes, you need to put this down. You cannot realize your full potential until you find the right mate and you're truly married, because it becomes the interaction between the male and the female in this sacred institution that will help to foster the growth and development of us as human beings. We cannot realize our full potential by ourselves. Allah has said to us that He has created everything in pairs. You see, everything in pairs. There's an interdependence that we need. There's an interdependence. Look up that word. This is a homework assignment. Look up the word interdependence. I-N-T-E-R, and then you put dependent there. You know, we often hear the word independent, and we hear the word dependent. At one stage in our life, we are very dependent upon our parents, you know, at birth. And sometimes we have the concept that we're independent. But never any time that we are totally independent. Only Allah is independent. Please understand that. Please take note of that. He has created us in pairs. I mean, the male for the female, so don't get it twisted. Don't think, oh, I got a mate, and they're male like I am, or you're female and you got a mate. No. He tells us in the Quran. So it's very clear there. But it also should be very clear what the Prophet Muhammad has said, that's in accordance with what Allah has said He has established for us. Allah says He has established the sacred institution of marriage. Now you need to ask yourself the question, why did Allah establish the sacred institution of marriage? What do you think it was established for? You see? So Allah has given us our nature, and in the original nature, in the fitra, there are certain urges that are there. You see, Allah gives us the provisions to be able to satisfy those urges. And I'm not just talking about the sexual urge. There was an older lady the other day was having a conversation. She said, oh, I'm so embarrassed. You know, my church asked me to do a talk in terms of sexuality. I'm just so embarrassed. She was telling me that. I said, why would you be so embarrassed? I don't want to call her name. I said, why would you be so embarrassed? I know why. because this is not something that we often talk to our children about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes we get misconception and misperception when it comes to sexuality and all. But the reality of sex, what it is and what it is Allah intended for it to be. But there are other components in the sacred institution of marriage that help us to become more productive. That's what seeds are. When seeds are realized their full potential, it is called produce. And it's the same thing that happens, you understand, with the seed of love. It provides produce, productivity in our life. Oh, I could go on and on, but it's translated into the community life, but also in the society. And this is what Imam Muhammad said. You know, it should be realized in the social order. That's a workshop in and of itself to go through all those stages and do that. Inshallah, maybe one day I may do that here, but I won't do it tonight. It takes too long in terms of doing that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's how we have to see the full blossoming of the seed. We want to see the full blossoming of love. And she's right. It is an action word. So I stop there.
Definitely. And in that action, you know, when you were talking, one of the things that I thought about in this idea that it's an action word is that I kept envisioning, you know, what would happen if a farmer went out and threw some seeds out into the soil and never, ever did anything with it. No action did he do with it. Or if the man implanted the seed in the woman and never did she try to eat the right foods or, you know, exercise or do anything, what would happen?
That's right.
You know, it doesn't grow to its full potential. It doesn't
mean. That's right.
So the same thing in our relationships, you know, we get this seed and we got some actions that have to happen if we
That's
want
right.
to see the produce or the product or the
That's
result of this thing that grows and for it to grow to be 7 ears with the 100 grains on it, oh, my goodness, just to have that that love of Allah in us, number one. You know, one of the things you have to do, I say to you, another homework. Your homework was 51, 56. Here's a homework right now. Make a list of the actions that you can do to groom and grow your love for Allah. And then the actions that you can take to groom and grow your love of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then your love of our Prophet, peace be upon him, the love of the Quran, the love that of your community, the love of your family, your children. And just saying that just reminded me of the hadith. It's a Sahih Bukhari hadith that says, you have a duty to your Lord, you have a duty to your body, and you have a duty to your family, so you should give each one its rights. So actions have to happen in order for each one of those duties to be fulfilled. A duty to your Lord, to your body, and to your family. So what will you do? Make a list of those things and then begin to do them. Take the actions and do them. That's a homework assignment. Take the actions. And inshallah, let's see how much productivity, how much new life do we see emerging in our relationships, in our community life, in our own selves, because we made that investment. We took some actions. We made some steps and did some things that watered and was sunshine for the seed of love.
I said, Takbir, Allahu Akbar,
Alhamdulillah.
I like that homework assignment. I hope that radio listening audience, and maybe we'll get a couple, two or three, may want to share, but if not, I love the homework assignment you gave us, Shad.
You know what, next week we're gonna collect the assignment. We want you to come back, so for real, this is for real. Next week, we want you to come back and say, you know what, I made that list, and I did 50% of the things on the list, or 100%, whatever you did. I want you to give us a report. What did you do on your list, and what results did you see? Did anything change? Did you see new life sprouting? Anything? Tell us, because I think this is how we really begin to make a difference in our relationships with ourselves, with Allah, and with our families, and with our community. This is what we have to do. So something we said, Mark, sparked some hands up. So
I think you said a mouthful there. I think that would prompt the people to put their hands. Let's see what they got to say there, Cry.
Okay, all right. Then let us go ahead and go. I think both of these have spoken, but they inspired to say something else. 404-368. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
It's me again. I'm Lakeisha Tawanda from Decatur, Georgia.
Why, Lakeisha? Yes, ma'am. Tawanda.
I like what you said, Brother Mark and Sister Karan. As a matter of fact, I don't like what you said. I love what you said because you answered some questions that I had in my own head. How do I become a good Muslim wife? Because I've never been married before, and I asked the question before, what is a Muslim marriage? And you answered some questions for me. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I write down all the surahs in Ayah, so I'd like to go back to the Holy Quran and read it. You mentioned Surah 18, Ayah what?
Surah 18, Ayah. Are you speaking to me or are you speaking to the Quran?
To you, Brother Mark.
Oh, okay. Probably when he was talking about Jen. No, that would be Surah 18, you got that right, but the verse is 50. I got 50. Surah 18, I got 50. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum assalam.
Thank you. All right, and then we're going to go to, I think this is Sister DePrita, if I'm not mistaken. This is 219-484. Take your name.
No,
that's
Dr. Jamal Rashid.
That's Dr. Jamal. Okay, yes, Dr. Jamal.
Yes, I just want to concur. I mean, alhamdulillah, with everything you all have stated. You know, it's like a legacy. I mean, you couldn't have summed it up as much, as high as you could have done. So to what you all have stated, only thing I can add, if it's an addition to what you have already stated, is just the human inclination is to desire pleasure. In conjunction with love, you know, the most known salutation or question that people always ask is, how are you? How are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, it summarizes the human inclination. We're talking about heaven on earth. You know, what could be better than to summarize that our feelings towards one another as being dependent on each other, that we are not separate or independent, as you stated. Only Allah is independent.
Yes.
And us being social creatures, it fits all into place, that we cannot survive alone. And the produce, I mean, you come up with words all the time, and I hope that you can get this book out soon as a wordologist.
Yes, I'm working on it.
You know,
I'm working on it, Doc. I'm working on that true love recipe.
I just keep reminding you so we can get it out there, because, I mean, it's fantastic in that wordology that you come up with, you know, just in produce and productions, you know, and that's what the world is missing. And understanding that there's heaven on this earth. So I'll just stop right there and then continue the business.
Thank you. Walaikum assalam. Thank you so much, Dr. Jamal. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
And push one on your
phone. Any more callers there?
Not right now. We have a lot of callers, but no one with their hands up.
Okay. Well, you go ahead, Karan, because I think you was about to say something. We was about to give us another excerpt or something from the book there or what?
Yes, I do have more to give us. So looking at love as an action, so that's our homework assignment. And then just to, and as a reiteration, you know, I love the way that Sister Akilah goes back to Quran. So she even does it in one of my favorite ayahs, Surah 2, Ayah 177, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines righteousness. You know, Imam Muhammad told us, and he did it earlier, when you talked about jinn and man, and then you went through the Quran 1850 to define jinn. So Imam Muhammad said you use the Quran to define. You don't go to Webster or other things to look for the meaning.
That's
you get
right.
it from Quran. So here Allah tells us in 2:177, he defines righteousness for us. And he tells us that it is not righteousness that you turn your faces toward east or west. That's an action, right? So that's not just the way to find righteousness. It's just simply praying east or west. And this particular revelation came when the Prophet, peace be upon him, had changed the Qibla. And, you know, we were praying in the direction of Jerusalem, which
yes.
is west. And then the revelation came, change it. And the people were like, oh, my God, and they were losing faith in him. Like, oh, he's losing it. He's changing the direction of the Qibla. Oh, my God. And then the revelation came that it isn't righteousness that you turn your face toward east or west. So let's not get stuck on that physical thing.
That's right.
The action, right. Don't get stuck there. He said, but true righteousness is one who believes in Allah, the last day. And that's when he began to give us our pillars and our principles of faith, these actions that we take as his servants. And so he says that you believe in God, believe in the last day, believe in the angels, believe in the book, believe in the prophets. And then he said, give your wealth in spite of your love for it. And here when he talks about in spite of your love, this love that he talks about again is this seed. He used the same word for seed. And so you have to look at, he says, give your wealth in spite of the love that you may have for it. So in spite of this need for this thing we have, and he says, and you give it to the relatives, to the orphans, the needy, the traveler, those who ask for help and for the freeing of the slaves, and who establishes prayer. It goes back to the definition. You establish prayer, you give zakat, which is obligatory charity, and he said, those who fulfill their promise when they promise. Keep your word. So this would be a great one right here. There's some actions you want to take in the next week. Keep your word. Give charity. You know, make your prayer. And he says, fulfill your promise when they promise, and those who are patient. Patient in the struggle, in poverty and in ailment, and during battle. And those are the ones who have been true, and it is those who are the righteous. So I'll use that to give us a definition. So here's some actions. You know, I gave you an assignment. Here you go. You got some actions you can do in these next few weeks. And so when Allah talks about this love, he gives us to do. It is not something that you just sit around. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, it's not those who sit at home. That's mm-hmm. not the one. It's the mm-hmm. ones who get your butt up and do some work. And that includes in our relationships.
Yes.
And that includes.
You know, that's so beautiful. I love that ayat too, Quran. I mean, I love that ayat too, because we see it's about the action. It's about the action. And Allah describes it very vividly right there where you're saying that, yeah, you've given a homework assignment, and it's like hint, hint, hint. I ain't gonna say any more though. I got it. I'm taking notes too.
Alhamdulillah. Yes. All right. You want to comment before I go on? It sounds like you were saying
something. No. You go ahead and please go ahead. I think you said that we did have one question that came to us. So
mm-hmm.
what? Maybe we'll have time at the very end. No, continue
yes.
on. I know that there's other things
All
you
right,
highlighted
so I have,
from the publication.
Yeah, this mm-hmm. is my final comment that I want to make for us, and I think this is an important thing. We've talked about Surah 30, Ayat 21 before. But
mm-hmm.
in this chapter, our sister talks about it again. And that is the ayat where Allah talks about, reflect on this is what he said in essence. Say, reflect. He said, and of his signs is that he created for you from yourselves, mates, that you may find tranquility in them. And he placed between you affection and mercy. Indeed, in that are signs for people who give thought or who reflect. And this ayat here, actually the sister put it at the beginning of the chapter, and then it comes at the end of the chapter where she actually talks about it. And I want to just go to this particular part, mate from among yourselves, when we talk about courtship. You know, we're like, oh, I can't find anybody. But Allah has created these mates from among yourselves. And it is similar to Surah 4, Ayah 1, where Allah says that, you know, he has pulled from one being and created your mate for you. So mates from among yourselves. These mates from among yourselves, is they may be in your community, they may be around you, but that's looking at the physical. Really is what it's saying is mates of like nature, mates who have, share values like you, mates who have a like-mindedness like you. They have similar practices to you, and inside of that, when you find these mates with these similarities from among yourselves, you can dwell with them, Allah says, in tranquility. And so in dwelling with them in tranquility, he used the word sakina. From this word sakina, the real word that he uses is litaskunu. And that is that word sakina is in there. And I like to mention that word. I love that word. Because it is about the peace. It is about this same thing we're talking about, the peace. And, you know, for those of you who know Arabic, you know we have this letter, sukun. Well, sukun shares the same value as sakina. They come from the same word. And sukun is that letter. What does it do? It hangs over other letters. And when you see sukun, you stop. You rest.
Yes.
Right there. And so I'm getting this whole idea. I got it from Imam Bacha, Sheikh Ibrahim Bacha, years ago, and he was teaching us this. He said that sukun is a resting place. So these mates that we find of like nature, these mates that we find from among us, become a place where we can rest and we can find peace in them. We can stop right there, go no further. And Allah the Mighty in the Quran says, he placed between you affection and mercy, love and mercy. He placed that between you. So, and then there's this word, the word comfort that he uses here. I've mentioned it already, but this same word means reassurance as well. So we have to be those who reassure our mates. Build that characteristic in us to be reassuring to them. And so this, the taskunu is a verb, and it's about dwelling, it's about living, it's about resting there. But it's an action, again, that we're talking about, this idea of action. So I want to pause there because I think I said enough for us to, if you have a comment, you have a question, push one on your phone. We'll gladly take it and respond and be a part of this conversation. If you're listening online and you want to join us in the studio, we welcome you to go ahead and join us. Most definitely, you can do that by dialing 714-816-4673. And I'm going to pause, Mark, in case you have a comment or something you want to say about this idea of the sukun and this resting place in Surah 30, Ayat 21.
I'm glad you brought that up in terms of sukun, in terms of it in the Arabic language being a resting place. But then I love the how you related that in terms of actually being able to find among those that Allah has, in terms of his human creation, a mate like nature. I don't want that to go over our heads, made of like nature. This says in terms of a commonality. So we want, so when we see or when we hear words in the English language that have ality, it is a play on the word reality. So when we say commonality, we're talking about the reality of what is common that we have, you see. This would be a more appropriate and suitable mate for you, you see. So that means that you have to actually know yourself. You have to know yourself. This is very, very important. Mm-hmm. You have to know who you are. This past weekend, enjoying the 25 do's and don'ts of the Islamic courtship, one of those questions, one of the things on there, it was do or don't. It was, you know, to be your authentic self. Be your authentic mm-hmm. self. There's a lot I could have said about that because of the timing restraints, I wasn't able to say those things. But we have to, as Quran say, you know, you go to the Quran for the answer in terms of what is our authentic self. Most people, we present our socialized and our acculturated self. So when we're talking about in terms of commonality, the reality of what it is that we have in common in terms of how we've been socialized and acculturated. But even then, the challenge for all of us is to try to move how we've been socialized and acculturated self to the authentic self. Now, if you ask the question, say, okay, well, Brother Shaheed, what are you trying to say here? What I'm trying to say is that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is our authentic self. You see, Adam, you understand, is all human beings in the very beginning. Imam Muhammad gave us something here, and I think it's a gold nugget. It's a gold nugget. He said that Adam is Muhammad in his highest form, in his most developed form, in its most mature form. Adam is Muhammad in his highest, most developed form, most mature form. This is very important because this actually says that this is the self we want to get to. And so the socialized self and the acculturated self, you understand, there's still a lot of work that we need to do on ourselves, but it's important that we know where we are at the state, age and stage that we are in our life. So when you're looking for a mate, you want to have the commonality, the reality of what it is that you have in common. And you most certainly in terms as a moral being or as an emotional being, a rational, intellectual being, a social being, and yes, as a spiritual being. This is very, very important when we start talking about the components that make up the human being. You want to be able to try to come to a judgment, a decision in the courtship if there is a union in those components, those vital components I just named. Is there a relativeness? Is there a connectiveness? You see, because as Quran was saying, in terms of love being an action word, well, let's go back to what the Prophet has said. He has said that marriage is one half of our deen or our religion. Okay? And then he said, and let them in the other half be conscious and regardful of their Lord. Now, I asked the question. This is the question. I want you to listen up. You're in the learning lab. And I'm going to give a special acknowledgement for the one that can answer this question. Which one of those two would be the action part? Which one of the two, with the Prophet Muhammad said in a very sahih hadith, we've heard it before, that marriage is one half of your religion or your deen. And then he said, I'm giving you a hint here. And then he said, and let them in the other half be conscious, regardful of their Lord. Which one is the action part? Press one if you think you know the answer. Do we have
any
takers?
They're thinking about it.
Okay. Maybe I should put something on the line here. Maybe it might encourage
uh-oh,
them.
Uh-oh.
It ain't, but it's either one or the other. So come on, dear believers. I know you know it. Which one would be the action part?
For those who are afraid to be wrong, this is what I would say to my students often. It's like, don't be afraid to be wrong, because really it's just not necessarily wrong. It just needs some guidance. So it
yes.
could be an answer that, you know, we can guide it in a direction. So don't be afraid, because we grow
right.
when we make those, we stumble. You know, think about a baby that gets crawled.
Right.
It doesn't stand up from crawling and says, look at me, I'm walking now, I'm running. You know, it has to stumble, it has to fall. So that's how we grow, is in being able to make our mistakes and be able to get back up, dust yourself off, and try again.
Well, what I'll do is, anybody that has the courage to press one and give an answer and give the correct answer, they will receive a free CD in terms of the marriage workshop that I did in Los Angeles, California. And I'll send it to
okay.
you. There you go. So you can almost
just
go eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Just feel thinking.
And probably be. And I heard Imam Fahim Shua said years ago, he said, you know, you're wrong before you get to be right anyway. So don't be afraid.
Right.
I agree with Brad.
So, I like that.
Yeah. So alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Well, you want to think about it for all the way until next week, you can. But I think if you really, really been listening to Karan and myself and tonight, it should be an easy answer for you as to which one would be the action part of the deen. I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Press one.
Okay.
Nobody? Okay.
Nobody, yes.
Nobody? Okay, nobody's no takers.
Not
okay.
yet. They will, though. They will.
Not yet. Okay. Well, we still got to...
I believe
we still
in them.
Oh, yeah, I do, too. I know they're going to come through. They're going to get that. So, yeah, you know, Karan, this is very, 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 very important as we make connections. As students at Imam, he taught us to always make connections, make connections, make connections. And the reason I'm asking
mm-hmm.
that question is because I want us to really, really make connections. You know, Imam Muhammad did not want his community to be what was termed as a parrot community.
Mm-hmm. That was very
important. The parrot just repeats what they hear. But they don't, you know, you just got to feed the parakeet. But if you say, Polly, want a cracker, then the parrot will say, Polly, want a cracker. Well, that don't mean the same thing if you said you wanted a cracker. You see,
right.
Parrot is just repeating, you know, but not understanding what is really being said. So if this is a Sahih Hadith and all the learned persons in the community of Al-Islam, they know that this is very solid and firm as a Hadith of the Prophet. This is one half. Out of all the important things that we think about, is very important. But he said, marriage is one half of your deen.
Mm-hmm.
And let him in the other half be consciously regardful of their Lord.
All
which
right, we've
one?
Got somebody who pushed one.
Okay.
Let's see
okay.
what they have to say. All right, here we go. 718-344. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Yeah, my name is
New York.
I'm in Fort Valley, Georgia.
Okay. Yes. What's your name?
Muhammad Mubarak.
Okay, Brother Muhammad, welcome to the Question for Marriage Learning Lab. You want to answer that question? Which one is the action?
The one that's action is the marriage.
Takbir, Allah with Akbar. I want you, now I'm going to give you opportunity. I may add a little something else more into that. You already won the CDs, the CD that I did in Los Angeles, California on marriage. So now can you tell the Learning Lab, you understand, why it is the action point?
Because it's engaging.
Yes.
It's engaging.
It's engaging.
That's what it's, coming together.
Yes.
Spiritually, emotionally,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, of course, physically, but again, like mm-hmm. you said, you got to acknowledge and follow the guidance from the Quran and the history that you said, like, that's what the law was with Adam and Eve. They was married. And the reason why I got on also is that I met you out there in Los Angeles. And I remember
really?
Doing a few other humor. And then one time we was out there and it was a brother out there that said he didn't want to be married. He didn't want nothing to do with marriage.
Oh, yeah, okay. You know what? Now it's coming to me, Brother Muhammad. Yeah, it was a brother that did stop at my table and said he didn't want to. Yes, you're coming to me now. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, we had a lot of humor and a lot of fun the whole time, whatever it was. And me, you, and a few of your brothers from St. Louis. But also, question is, you know, I remember the man saying back in the 70s that marriage was for reproducing and pleasure. So we don't have to worry about thinking that. You know, the problem is we just think marriage is pleasure. And because of the way media and entertainment introduce people through lust and ignorance, like the woman or the sister was saying, Sister Karan was saying, somebody talking about love at first sight. It's usually lust at first sight. We look at what we like.
Well, we might have to get you on here sometime, Muhammad. You loaded, brother.
No, but I wanted to get with you. I heard you over there at the Atlanta thing, but I had some things I couldn't get over there. I wanted to see you because I really enjoyed being with y'all that weekend at the Los Angeles, you know?
Yes, sir. I enjoyed being with you and meeting you and some other believers. It's always good to be able to meet believers and it was very special there in Los Angeles, California. So thank you so much. Hey, look, you want to leave your information, and maybe Karan could, I don't know if she's in position.
Yeah, I have his number. I'll give you a call back.
Okay, you get his number, and then she can hook you up with me, give my number and everything, and get your address, and I'll send you the CD. Maybe I'll send you something else too, you know, for giving. We want, Karan and I want to get more involvement with the radio listening audience. They listen in because we want you to think about these things and come to the logical conclusion, you understand, that it is marriage that's the action part of it. You know, other religions, let me say this before you go, Brother Muhammad, other religions, they have hermits and monks, you know, the Gnostic people in it, but they don't have the right understanding. They isolate themselves, you know, from social responsibility. They don't get married. They don't have sex and produce children. They don't have a family life, nor do they get involved in community life. This shows that there's a misconception. Imam Muhammad say, those are the persons that we say in the Al-Fatiha, they are the Darleen. The Darleen. And he said that the Darleen were the people, they had good intention, but they misread. They was misled in terms of the life to live. You know, so I just want to just say that, you see, so we have people, you understand, their intention is to be in a state, a mind state of being God conscious. But if, in fact, that if what the prophet is saying, the other half of it is acknowledging and being conscious of social responsibility, that means that you have to be active, like you said, the interaction with your wife and what is produced from that interaction. You see, there's produce, there's productivity that comes only because there's activity. That's like what Quran said, only because of activity. You know, there's work, there's effort. All this is action. You know, taqwa is a state of being, you understand? But we don't want to be, we can't be like hermits nor monks in that regard. Saying we don't want to be of the Dalin, those who actually, they went astray. Even though, yes, Imam Muhammad said to us, they had good intention, but they were misled, misinterpreted, misunderstood, which means, you know, brings about a misunderstanding and mistakes, you know, in the life that they were living. See, so we don't want to be the Darlene. So, alhamdulillah, thank you so much, Brother Muhammad, and Quran,
I want to be brief and say something about our meeting. We went to the Indian restaurant that time, me and you and a few other brothers. We went over across town and went to an Indian restaurant. And
yes,
when we was out there. Glad. I hope your sister called me and I get your number. I'm looking forward to the CD so I can keep in touch with you, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome.
You're
welcome, Brother Muhammad. Thank you. And for having the courage to press one. Thank you so much. And continue to listen and call in. Assalamu alaikum.
And pick one of your phone as you come out. And, Mark, we're up at the top of the hour, so we just have a few moments, and I do want to share the question from our email listener, even if we don't answer today, just something we can take with us. And, inshallah, maybe that'll be our answer for next week. But the caller, the listener, asked us if we would comment on two ayat. And the two ayahs are about no consummation after marriage and a relative to divorce and the bridal gift, the mar. And that is Surah 2, ayat 236 and 237.
And the first one was pertaining to consummation. I didn't quite understand all of that.
That's what she was saying, to consummation in the marriage. And I'm pulling up the ayat now to see what it says in actuality. And so this particular ayat says, okay, I remember this one. It says that it's really about the husband who, you know how we talk about how the prophet, peace be upon him, left his home of his wives. It's not about that, but it's similar to that. In that it says, there is no blame upon you if you divorce women you have not touched nor specified for them an obligation, meaning the mar, but give them a gift of compensation, the wealthy according to his capability and the poor according to his capability, a provision according to what is acceptable, a duty upon the doers of good. That's 236.
Yes. Absolutely, I'm familiar with that too. And you know, Quran, I don't think we can say it any better than what it is that Allah actually has said. And you know, one of the things in 2020 almost like a blur for me because we, as a community, we didn't do anything, you know. So, yeah, so it was 2019 when we had the first conference here in the STL, the St. Louis, and I did a workshop on Selling the Seven Seas. Selling the Seven Seas is a play on the letter C. And I did not include consummation as one of those C's, because You don't need Mark Shahid or Quran Shakir to have to school you on the consummation, but the consummation of the relationship becomes the punctuation, as I like to say, of the relationship. It seals the deal in regards to that. And that was a big misunderstanding by many in the association Imam W.D. Muhammad, which I think I addressed one time. I don't know if I did it here on IWDM radio, but I know I did it on AM 360 radio because some of them misunderstood the Imam when they heard him. It was on the East Coast. I was aware of the fact what it was he said, but many of them just took what he said and ran with it, said, if a man has sex with a woman, then you are married. You are married. Okay, so what is the, in terms of, in the natural evolution of relationship? You know, I use the analogy of a cake. Do you ice the cake? Can you put icing on something that you haven't baked? And even to my knowledge, and you can correct me if I'm incorrect, I don't think you can even ice a cake that just come out of the oven. I think you have to let it cool off, don't you?
Let it cool, yep. You have to let it cool.
You have to let it cool. And the fact of the matter is you can have cake without icing, but if you try to eat a whole bowl of icing, I guarantee you you'll be sick. And I remember as a little boy, my brothers and I was always waiting for my grandmother to finish in terms of icing the cake so we could get the bowl, you know, so we can, you know, and we should want the icing or even the batter as far as they go. We would want to lick the rest of the icing out of there. It was just enough to keep from making sick. But if we ate a whole bowl of icing, we would be sick. That's the same way in terms of relationship. And you'll find big voids in relationship, whereas that's the only objective. You don't have any other objective. Just like the brother said, Brother Muhammad said, that, you know, you fell in love at first sight. No, it was might have been lust at first sight because you don't even know the person. And so this is why it's so important. I'm still working on the book. I got so many things that is going on here. But the true love recipe in terms of, because inshallah, when I finish with it, I'm doing it from A to Z. And I think every letter in the alphabet in terms of qualities and characteristics that are organic, they're natural, the only preservatives are natural preservatives in true love. And so we can't accept what Western society say in terms of what true love is. And I think that you're going to find this will be a very interesting publication in seeing that these qualities and characteristics are needed and necessary when you're exemplifying true love. And many of them, just as I said earlier, is that the sacred institution of marriage is the womb of love and the gestation period where love grows and develops in the marriage. And it only can realize its full potential, you know, when we invest in each other. And we know that investment, anytime you're talking about investing money or something that you love, you're looking for a return. And the return in the sacred institution of marriage is a better human being, the human being that Almighty God, Allah, wants. And another Sahih Hadith, the Prophet Muhammad said, he said to us, those who do not marry or don't desire to marry, they're not of my sunnah. And that's not his way, because he was in tune what it is that Allah has established for us, and he understood that, and he understood the social responsibility. That's how we grow. That brings about the maturity. So that's very, very important, but it's not, we don't want to take what it should be last and make it first. And you know, Quran, we find too much of that in society today, you know, when male and females get together, the first relationship becomes a sexual relationship, and after that, there's nothing else. There's no other relationship that has been established. Yes. So I just wanted to say that And thank you, you know, Quran, for finding the in the Quran where the believer can actually read that for themselves. But just know that consummation is the punctuation. Now, I like to say the punctuation. You know, punctuation and grammar comes at the end of a sentence. You know, that's the exclamation. The exclamation mark is a form of punctuation. The period, the question mark, all that is called punctuation, comma. You know, a pause that's there. All this is punctuation. But when we talk about consummation in terms of relationship, it is the punctuation. It is that puts the period, you know, in what it is that that has transpired in that regard. But there's so many other things that had developed before then. So Imam Muhammad was not, he might not have said those things, but if you take what was supposed to be last and make it first, then in essence you have married each other, because that is what it is that that would be the end or the punctuation of the relationship. You should be have related as moral beings, as emotional beings, rational beings, intellectual beings. If you're going to have intercourse, it should be intellectual intercourse. Also as social beings and as spiritual beings. But if you haven't connected and united and have anything in commonality in that regard, in essence, you are not married. I'm going to say that again. You are not married. See, we think that the marriage is when you come and you're taking your vows. That don't make you married. The reception don't make you married. None of that makes you married. You hope to uncover and discover that in the courtship phase. So, you know, after Quran and I finish this publication, then we will be looking at courtship. We will be going over the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. And a lot of these things that I'm saying now, we're going to bring it out even more in depth. So, Quran, we write it, like you say, at the close here. And
well,
so
we're
you
over
have...
time now, so yes.
Okay. Okay, Quran.
Yes,
so you got some closing remarks that you like to
make. It won't take
make.
Me more than 30 yeah. seconds just to remind everybody that to do your homework. And the homework will be posted on Facebook and on Instagram, so you can go and see it, and it's Bring It to the Lab. Check it out so you'll know what your assignment is. And we'll be looking for you to report next Thursday when we come back on air. We also want you to send us your questions and your comments on our email at bringittothelab@gmail.com. As always, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. We pray that you have benefited from our learning lab. And if you did, we ask you to tell a friend to join you next Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We ask you to stay connected with us again. So you're going to like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. And Mark, back to you, Mark, for your closing comments.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I want to say alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost for you, Quran Shakir. I really appreciate, and I'm quite sure our radio listening audience do, also in terms of the insight and the wisdom that Allah bless you with each and every Thursday to share with us here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I want to thank all our listening radio listening audience, and especially those who press one and call in and participated in the Learning Lab, as this is your Learning Lab. I want to also remind you that here on IWDM Radio tomorrow, which is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, and those of you who are immobilized and maybe can't get out to your local masajids and Islamic centers, you can come back here on IWDM Radio for the Salatul Jumu'ah with Imam Michael Mikhail Sayer, the longtime resident imam there in Indianapolis, Indiana, at An-Nur Islamic Center. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. And that number that you want to dial in is 714-816-4673. That's each and every Friday afternoon here on IWDM Radio. And then the longest standing production that we have on IWDM Radio is Words Make People, once again with the very distinguished, esteemed host of Words Make People, along with his co-host, Imam Ayman, out there in California, joins him each and every Sunday afternoon. It's 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it is 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Words Make People. Imam Mikhail Sayer always have very intriguing guests and taking on topics that are pertinent to us as a community, so please tune in for that here on IWDM Radio. And latest and greatest, I think, Learning Lab that we have that's hosted by Rashid Salam and also Imam Abdul Shahid on the science of your health in you, the science of your health in you. Some excellent information in regard to science of your health in you. And it is a learning lab, so you need to bring, once again, your pen and pad and be prepared to take notes. And please let your friends know about it. It happens every Tuesday evening here at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time each and every Tuesday. And then I also want to remind you to tune in to the Sister Learning Lab, to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and that would be the Parenting and the Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. But Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean joining up with me each and every Wednesday. And that happens at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And we're soon approaching our fifth anniversary, and we're going to look to do something very special when we get there, inshallah, in the upcoming Gregorian calendar new year. And following the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and that's each and every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here, as I always like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. As Karan Shakir and our beloved Sister Naima, and also Aisha K. Mustafa, longtime editor of the Muslim Journal, joined me last night. Very informative recap of the 2021, time to be grateful. So it's guests like that we have each and every Wednesday, so please tune in. And, of course, don't forget this Learning Lab. Also want to just say that also this Saturday I've been invited to be a guest on the Prisa Hadid show, where she has a Learning Lab, Al Islam in Focus. And I have accepted the invitation, and that will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time on our sister station, AM 360 Radio. And the call-in number for that that you might want to tune in and listen in will be 515-605-9891. That's 515-605-9891. And that is Al Islam in Focus Learning Lab. Also want to make sure that you listen in and support our dear sister Fitra Muhammad and study Al-Islam, as she has some of the most outstanding intellects in our community. That includes Karan Shakir. She's been on there several times. Life topics that she have, and that's every Sunday morning. If you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it happens for you at 10 a.m. It's 9 a.m. in the Central Standard Time Zone, and it's 7 a.m. Pacific Coast Time for Study Al-Islam. There is a new number, and that new number is 717-908-1837, 717-908-1837. And the passcode is still the same. It is 684012 pound. That's 684012 pound. And that happens each and every Sunday morning study al-Islam. And we also want to remind you that we do support the Muslim Journal, and it was said by my guest that you still have time, and Quran can confirm this, you still have time to make a belated registration so that you have an opportunity to get the whole of the 2021 time to be grateful there, and still accepting donations and sponsorship. And I don't know if Quran has a mailing address or whatever, how you can do that, but it'll go all the way to the end of this year, which will be December 31st. I know that our community will be sending some money in regards to that. So,
Quran, if you need to go to MuslimJournal.net.com.
Okay, MuslimJournal.net or AtlantaMasjid.com, any one of those two, it will direct you how you can still send your money in. Muslim Journal needs the money, so let's do that. That's the lifeblood of our community. And so with that being said, I want to say this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.